Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting tonight. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich is excused. Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Okey-doke. Do we have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented?
Move to approve as presented.
Sorry. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. There will be no solid waste on Thursday, November 22nd. That will take place the first week of December. Right? No solid waste service on Thursday?
No, it's just one day later.
Oh, okay. Everything will be one day later. Sorry. And then due to the holiday, village offices are closed this coming Thursday, November 22nd, and Friday, November 23rd. Any other announcements from the village board? Any announcements from staff? The only other announcement is the village of Alloway had the highest voter turnout in the area. So congratulations to voters of Alloway. Public appearances. Is there anyone who would like to speak tonight on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Path Committee. Last year, the Public Works Department, under the previous administration, decided that there wouldn't be a arboretum trail put in place, and the plans just came out at the Public Works meeting, and that instead of an arboretum trail, it looks like there's just going to be two small 5-foot sidewalks instead of a wide commercial sidewalk or a 8 to 10 foot multi-use lane. So that's kind of a surprise to anybody who's been following it. And I believe that the reason that the Arboretum Trail was canceled and turned into just a sidewalk and a bike lane was because there's no room in front of the old Chapel Hill apartments that were put in under the planned development district. So that was supposed to be part of the comprehensive plan to have an arboretum trail that was going to allow the elderly and the handicapped to get down to the Fox River Trail, and now it's just going to be a sidewalk, and I don't think that there's any plans to actually cross the road now. And one reason that is because this board was not able to work with the state and find an acceptable construction plan for the redevelopment of Riverside Drive. That was going to be a $12 to $15 million project that just got canceled, and maybe at some point in 5 or 10 years that will be redeveloped. But the village lost a tremendous opportunity to redevelop our waterfront, and now we have to do it with TIN money, and we have to do it with stadium tax money, and that there's a lot of money that is being spent now that would have been available through the state reconstruction of that highway. So, fortunately, the state has stepped forward, and we allocated $190,000 to put in two crossings on Riverside Drive to get across to the Fox River Trail. And it's my understanding that the state is picking up 2/3 of the cost of those projects. So that's the best information that I got from the clerk with the last budget she sent me last month. So there was $192,000 allocated, $61,000 was spent. That leaves $130,000 available. And there's probably a lot of that has been spent in the last couple months, but the money that's available from the stadium tax district refund should be spent on redeveloping our waterfront instead of redeveloping Webster Avenue. And finally, at the Plan Commission last night, I pointed out that the streetscape plan, just the general plan to redevelop Webster Avenue, calls for the demolition of McDonald's and turning it into a park, which is the dumbest thing I ever heard. So you have a very successful business in town, and off the cuff, somebody says that would make a nice park. So the right place for redevelopment is our waterfront, and let the private sector take care of Webster Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight? Hearing none, we'll close the public appearances, and I will reply to Mr. O'Rourke on some of the areas. Regarding the no longer planning for an arboretum trail, Jim, you were at the Public Works meeting. You heard Sean, our Public Works Director, say that it's in the works for planning. It's not a design. It's not a plan. He's looking into what makes sense and what doesn't. As a village, we have committed that we are interested in connecting the East River with the Fox River. And whether that be a wide sidewalk or a trail or whatever it might be, we want to be able to provide the pedestrian accommodations as the landscaping allows. Regarding the elderly getting from the condos down to the river, I'm guessing they can take a sidewalk as well as they could take an arboretum trail. Regarding no longer having crossings on Riverside Drive, there was never a planned crossing by the state when they were looking at Highway 57. Regarding this board's inability to deal with the state or to negotiate with the state, we did not ask the state to widen that road. We didn't ask them to reconstruct it. It's their road. They chose not to because of budgetary constraints. I think that's it. Okay, moving on. We will open our 2019 budget hearing. The staff has been hard at work putting together a budget for this upcoming year. And we will now open the public hearing. Is there anyone who would like to discuss or speak on this year's proposed budget?
Former of 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I would like to see more details on the TID spending. I think that the people need to understand that TID money is not free money. A third comes from the school, a third comes from the village, and the rest comes from the county and the technical school. So I'd like to see the TID money better accounted for, easier to find. I understand that we're now, in order to reconstruct West St. Joseph and put in the Arboretum Trail, we'll have to bond and use TID money for that, which is appropriate because it is in the TID district. But TID money, about a third of it, 25% to a third of it, comes out of the village general fund. And so we have to pay attention to that. That is not free money. So I'd like to see better line items on the TID. It took me quite a while to find the six or seven places where TID was mentioned in the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the budget, the proposed budget? Come on up. You got here just in time. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Yeah, my name is Jared Hine. I live at 1301 South Clay Street. I'm the individual who sent you a rather long email a couple weeks back. I just wanted to take the time to first thank both President Rafter for responding to that email and Trustee Harris for taking the time to speak with me about it, as well as Administrator Lang taking some time out of his day to meet with me early morning last week. I just wanted to say, after my conversation with Trustee Harris, he'll kind of fill in some of the blanks with what I saw from the workshop minutes. At first, I was a little concerned reading the minutes, because it appeared that the Village of Alloway may be going down the same road as a couple other municipalities in the area with respect to streets and road improvements. But after speaking with Trustee Harris, he really kind of explained to me the funding mechanism that you guys are using, particularly as it relates to using the stadium funds. So I just want to say I have no concern about that anymore. I just wanted to reiterate from a member of, the residents' perspective, don't push back things like roads in particular just for the sake of keeping a tax rate low. I know it's probably not the most popular opinion from a resident, but frankly, I would rather have my tax rate go up than have roads pushed back because of the rate of inflation for construction costs with that rapidly outpacing general inflation. So I think as a general principle, I think it's very important to prioritize that. And it certainly appears that this budget does not compromise on that. So me personally, I'm very, very satisfied with what I saw and the clarification I received. So with respect to that, I have no real concerns. Just wanted to take the time to thank you all for reading the email and responding to it.
Well, thanks for taking the time to write it and to pay attention to the budget.
Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Harris is pretty good at numbers. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about the proposed budget? Second go, anyone interested? Third, hearing none, we will close our budget hearing. Action item number 6, action regarding the adoption of the 2019 budget. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve the 2019 budget.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Harris. Any discussion? I will just once again commend our staff for, during very tight times and escalating costs, to find ways to save money without reducing our services. So congratulations to our staff, and thank you for your hard work.
President Ryder, again, for the benefit of the first-time budget person and maybe some of the people in the audience, we might have had a pretty small increase, but for the decision to apply the stadium tax revenue. And I know you've explained it before, but that's a question people ask. Mm-hmm. This certainly falls under the purpose of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a one-time expense. We're not covering it as a reoccurring expense, and it's for debt reduction. So so it all works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And the tax rate is not going up, right? We were able to keep it flat. And I thank everyone very much for that. We have a motion to accept or to approve. And a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We have a budget for next year. We're open for business. Action item number 7, adoption of resolution 2018-14 regarding the spending of Lambeau Field excess sales tax. Someone want to give a little recap of that, please? Julie.
All right. Because we're going to transfer those funds from the stadium tax fund to the general fund, and that's in order to maintain that $500,000 level of funds on the streets, we're asking for a resolution. So city and such.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve, resolution 2018-14.
Thank you. Do I have a second on that? Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We will have a public hearing to consider item number 8. Public hearing to consider petition from Mike Cashman requesting approval to amend the plan development district on parcel AL-44 located at 1649 South Webster Avenue, aka the former Village Hall property, change in site plan for restaurant and microbrewery. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on this matter? The second time, is there anyone who would like to speak on this matter? The third time, is there anyone who would like to speak on this matter? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing and move on to agenda item number 9, action regarding ordinance 2018-13, amending the plan development district for parcel number AL-44, located at 1649 South Webster. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart moves to approve, seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? Trustee Dart.
Plan Commission met last night and they recommend to approve.
Thank you.
The change.
And the plan is basically swapping where the restaurant or other business in the brewery would be, correct? We're getting closer, folks.
It's a little
yes.
bit nicer design. I think nicer. Maybe we should probably go over it so the people here can see it.
Good idea. Who'd like to give us that overview? Mr. Cashman, come on up.
Mike Cashman, 321 Old Water Court, DePere.
Mike? Mike, could you pull that down? Thank you.
Well, we ended up doing, because the lot to the south, the village is working with somebody to buy that, and it's, I'm going to call it a retail. And what we ended up doing, we flipped the project so that way the retail rental is on the south to face the future rental. And then it turned the loading dock to the back of the lot or to the east. So that way we can run our truck traffic on the north, come in, use the loading dock, and then pull out on the south. So we keep the truck traffic a little more steady, and we ended up with more parking stalls on site doing this. The other thing is Zimbaldi, the biggest thing, we got back to giving their entrance back to the north side, better view, and along with the retail to the south, we created more green space in front. We'll have a little more green space. And the last thing is just the overall appearance, it just lays out better on the site. And we feel the village is going to be happier with everything the way it's laid out.
Very good. Any questions for Mike? Thank you very much, sir. Any other discussion on this item? We have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. So when do we break ground?
Hopefully the second week of December.
Thank you very much.
A couple more stars will line up in the middle.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to action item number 10. Action regarding 2019-2021 contractual agreement between the Village of Alloway and Fair Market Assessments, LLC, that's our village assessor, for assessment services. Do you want to say something, Brad?
Actually, Mike Dina is here. If there are any questions from the board.
Okay. Does anyone have questions?
I'm sorry. Ready to go?
Would anyone have questions of Mr. Diener? I will accept the motion on this item. You got off easy. Trustee Harris.
Move to approve the contractual agreement as it's laid out in front of us.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? I do know that staff did their due diligence and took a look at other providers in the area. We've had excellent service from Mr. Diener and his company, and we believe it to be the smart decision to continue working with him. So thank you very much for the work you've done for us and the work you will do for us.
Thank you.
We have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 11, action regarding employee health and dental renewal. All things go up in cost, but we expected an increase of about 10% plus for our health and dental, and instead we're facing a 5.5 increase on health and 4% on dental for the exact same benefits, same coverage, everything, correct? Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Moved approved.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Sampson, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 12, police service contract. Mr. Lane.
Yes, the police contract, as you know, we've been contracting with Brown County Sheriff's Department since, from what I understand, the 70s, but it could be as early as the 60s. And what we contract for is our 24-hour 365 officer, our DEO officer, and part of that becomes the investigation aspect. Because when you're looking, and have this on. When you're looking at, if you had your own service, your own police department, those are the services that you would be provided or providing. One of the things that we looked at this year, as the contract came presented to us, was the increase in the overall amount of or percentage of investigation that the village is charged for. Looking further into that, with the help of Trustee Harris and Julie, it was determined after several meetings that the investigation, a good chunk of the investigation that the village of Alloway is paying for, is actually investigation that's taking place at the Green Bay Correctional Institution, which is state-owned property. So, with all that being said, that amounts to about 38% of our total investigation costs. And those were the biggest rise in the contract was the investigation. Talking with Senator Cole's office, it appears that, and Julie, please correct me if I say this wrong, or Matthew, that the Village of Alloway is the only municipality who contracts for the police service that has a state prison that is paying this extra fee. So I guess a little disturbing to a point, because we're talking anywhere, if you use, and I put in front of you tonight, based on a percentage of what of occurrences that are taking place in the investigation versus what their charges are for the investigation cost. It is anywhere between $65,000 up to $85,000 over the next 3 years. Pretty substantial amount of money. With all that being said, Senator Cole's office has been extremely helpful and looking at whether or not this is something that statutorily needs to change, budgetarily it needs to change, but they're going to continue to work with us to remedy the situation. In checking with Waupun, for instance, the city of Waupun both has their own police department and then, of course, it's Dodge County. And the city of Waupun does not respond to Waupun Correctional Institution unless the county can't get there, and it's usually for the first responder. But they do not do any of the investigation. That's through Brown, or, excuse me, Dodge County. So with some of this information that we've learned, it didn't come to light, to be quite honest with you, until the recent rise in the number of investigations that are occurring at GBCI. Prior to the current contract, we were roughly 12% of the total investigation charges, or investigation cases, were assigned to GBCI. So it wasn't, you know, granted it was something the village was paying for, we didn't know it, but it was nowhere near what we're looking at today. So what I'm asking is to approve the contract with Brown County with the caveat that there will be a letter of understanding coming forward that if the state were to reimburse maybe some of the previous and or going forward those investigation costs to GBCI, then that would be reduced from our contractual obligation. Newly elected Sheriff Delane is working with Brown County Corporate Council to put some stuff in place. But if the board is, and it's not ready for tonight, but if the board is not ready, Todd did indicate that he would be more than happy to come to the December 4th meeting, and hopefully we'll have further information. Given the fact that it is Thanksgiving and deer hunting, it's been a little difficult to get the right people in place, and the potential changeover in the DLC secretary. So I'm not sure if Secretary Chess will be reappointed to that role or not. So there are a lot of things that are in the works that might take us several months, but in the meantime, certainly would like to make sure we have a contract with Brown County. We've had a great relationship with them, and they do provide a great service. And we can chase them, too. Is there any question that I can quickly answer? Did I explain it well enough? I know my memo did not explain very well. It was very difficult to try to write some of that stuff out to make it make sense. But again, I think one of the interesting facts is that we are paying for those investigation charges to Brown County, or excuse me, to Green Bay Correctional Institution, and hopefully that can be removed from the contract. With the removal of the contract certainly doesn't go up. In fact, it would probably go down a little bit.
Has Senator Cole's office said how long they expect their research to take?
I've been working with Senator Cole's Chief of Staff, Jason, and he's been out for the last week and a half, so I don't expect him to be back until next week. And then I think he'll be able to give us a little more guidance as far as what the field might be for the next DOC secretary, and whether or not this is a budgetary or is it a statutorial change that needs to take place.
Okay.
But I want to thank the board. We met with Todd not too long ago to hash out a lot of things, and Julie's fine work and planning the details, and Matthew and all those that were involved. Jason's been a great help. I know one of the questions has been asked, when you're talking a percentage of investigation cases, what does that represent? You know, how many investigations take place in the Village of Valley? A community that's not growing as far as the demographics go. But I think year to date we're at 21 investigations. I have my hand all written down here. I'm sorry. I think some of this information is critical to get out into the public so people understand. We kind of backtrack a little bit. In 2017, 78 calls were, just 78 calls alone were sent to GBCI. Out of those 71, 51 of them resulted in investigation. So in 2017, I believe we had 90-some total investigations in the village.
That sounds about right.
In 2018, there's been 43 calls to GBCI as of September 6th, so virtually 2 months ago. And 21 of them resulted in investigations. So again, that's a pretty good chunk of our total investigation charges that take place in the village as a whole.
We're not only questioning the investigation cost, but we're also questioning just the call cost, right?
Right, and that's a tough one, and maybe Jason can help me out a little bit on this. That when a call has been placed to dispatch, I believe there's two officers that would respond, or is it one?
Some calls are two officer calls. The two officer calls are going to be your disturbances, traffic accident with the vehicle in traffic. There's differences, you know, if it's a theft call, that's going to be one deputy that way 24 hours wide. But there's multiple disturbances. You got alarms that are all two deputy calls, backed up by a calling squad or myself.
So now, as soon as that call comes in, we lose our 24-hour or 5 King, and possibly Jason, and then you've got a backup coming in. So there is a lot of money invested into the calls that do take place. I also checked with our fire department how many calls that they have been at GBCI in the last 3 years, and it was 175 times. So
it's every 2 days.
And I want to go back to the numbers because I apologize for that. But in 2015, there were 53 total investigations within the village. And investigations would vary a great deal. Anywhere from, I guess, credit card fraud to homicide. So out of those 53, 21 of them were to GBCI. 2016, we had 91 in the village, 40 at GBCI. 2017, 112 total in the village, and 37 to GBCI. So I was a little off on the numbers, and I apologize for that. But that does amount to 38% of all the calls. Just shy of 39.
Okay.
Question?
Yes?
In your research and the other people who are involved in this, are we thinking that Alloway is the first case of somebody asking for an accounting or a clarification or some remediation? Like, has this come up in Boscobel? I understand how it wouldn't in Waupun because they just don't call the city police force, the county cops, so all the county taxpayers, that cost is absorbed countywide. But some of the other ones, have you heard that this has ever been?
No. Very unique, and it might be one of those that just.
It's never thought of.
Being a village contracting with the county, the only one in the state, having a state prison, probably just didn't get looked at the right way, I guess.
And up to this point, the state really doesn't have an interest in reimbursement or ruling on how costs are assigned for this kind of thing?
Honestly, I don't think they've ever been asked.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at today. And again, this probably would have been one that may have continued for years to come hadn't been the fact that the number of calls increased so much. When we were speaking with Senator Cole's office, you know, it refers to a couple state statutes that are a little contradicting in a sense. One I can't understand what it means, but
throw that out.
But throw it out. But I think the one that we're looking at is jurisdictional and extended of state correction institute. Whatever that's. Read it right, but you know, it talks about some of the prisons that are in various counties, and where it says Green Bay Correctional Institution, basically it ends up saying any, let's see, the Green Bay Correctional Institution and its precincts are considered to be in the Brown County and the County Circuit Court as jurisdiction. So that's what we're kind of hanging our hat on. If incidents at the prison going through this Brown County Circuit Court, then shouldn't the investigation and everything else? So the fact of trying to determine what counties are being reimbursed, such as Dodge, who has, I think, three institutions, that they're most likely getting some sort of reimbursement from the state of Wisconsin, as well as the other hospitals, I think, in Lafayette or whatever county.
Iowa or Grant.
Yeah, I think it's Grant. Like yeah. So just trying to learn a little bit more about this so that we can sustain our case to through Senator Cole's office to the appropriate individuals.
And I'm sorry, you have reason to believe that Grant or Iowa or Dodge are being reimbursed?
Yes.
Or you know that?
Dodge for sure.
Okay. Because, yeah, my ears perked up when you said we're the only one, and that Dodge County one would be a precedent we ought to be able to cite because they've got a local police force, and they're not involved. That's a county-wide responsibility, and you're not targeting the local municipality where it happens to reside.
I should also point out that Sheriff Gossage has been very helpful in this, and he reached out to the previous DOC secretary before he retired, and unfortunately things kind of get lost in translation. But we're certainly pushing forward to get this corrected. It has nothing to do with our service with Brown County because it's been extremely pleasure to work with them, and they've done everything we've asked them to do. It's just a matter of should or should not the village be flipping this bill. And we don't think so.
It's pretty much the increase in investigator costs that is bringing our contract from what about $150,000 difference between 2016 and 2020. So it's substantial. Okay, any questions for Brad on this? So the question is, do we want to make a motion to approve the budget as is, or do we want to wait until December 4th and invite the chief in and hopefully have a letter of understanding between our two organizations prior to signing it?
And just as I'm Sheriff-elect Delaney would have liked to have been here tonight, but he is at the funeral station. That's why he indicated that December 4th would be fine.
Okay. I will entertain a motion. Trustee Harris. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought she had a question.
Do you have a question? Or
no, I was going to make a motion. I just moved to table till December 4th.
Okay.
You'd rather have the letter of understanding in front of us?
I would.
Okay.
And I'd rather at least they come visit. And because otherwise, we just, history of approving things and then waiting for that. And I just, if we've got some time, I'd rather have all the pieces in place.
We have a motion.
Second.
To table?
Are we tabling or just in terms
postponing.
Of the wording?
Postponing. Yeah.
Postponing.
Until December 4th, yes.
Second. Any discussion?
Can I ask a Are there any other questions that you would like?
Are there any other services that Alloway residents are disproportionately paying for? So within there, because it just making sure there's nothing else in there that.
I think we've combed through it pretty.
Yeah.
I think
we went through pretty much every line item, questioned multiple things, and just, you know, to reiterate what Brad said, what caught our attention is
the increase.
Well, just on investigations,
yeah,
before, and what opened the door to this in terms of looking at the every line item backing up to the budget. Okay, why are our costs going up? How much does this represent? When we looked at the investigations, we're now just under 1/6 of the county's investigations are for Alloway. At just saying those words on without considering the correctional institution, that got our attention right away to say, wait a minute, how can 1/6 of everything within the county happen in Alloway? That doesn't make sense. Then we started peeling it back, digging it in, and that's what we saw. And the importance of this letter of understanding and working with our state representatives, that $70,000 about that we can have the chance to pull back, that gives us 1% of our budget,
yes,
back.
Exactly.
Where we can continue to provide good services, maybe add services, look at roads, look at trails, look at crossings, look at everything we can with an extra 1% coming back to us each year.
Yeah. Well, and there's no logical reason why it wouldn't work in Brown County like it works in Dodge County. But I'd love to have people here, and it'd be very nice to get them all on board before it's approved.
And Sheriff-elect Delane was surprised by this as well. But I think we're just...
odd.
It's a unique situation with us not having our own direct police force as well as having a state-owned correctional institution on our property.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One other thing I'd like to know is, as close as we can, what is the actual number, dollar value associated with the number of investigations? I know we asked that of Todd when he was meeting with the board, so I'd like to know how much that is.
President Raptor, are you referring to how much each individual cost of investigation is?
No, how much our share, the
investigative
costs, actually were attributed to GBCI.
Got it.
How much we spent on GBCI?
You read, and it was kind of confusing, that state statute that appears to give us legal standing. Because if we bring the sheriff in here, he's not bound by what Dodge, and that's how they happen to settle it there. He could say, well, no, we're not going to do that in Brown County. But anyway, did our attorney point you to that, or you found that in your own research?
No, I think it was between Julie and Jason from Senator Cole's office. Because there's multiple state statutes that fall under for police services. And as you're reading through them and you're trying to, how does this one relate to us? It was supposed to, but it doesn't. And you just keep going down. And then this one is the one that really stood out. Is wait a minute here. Maybe this is the answer, because it's giving that authority to Brown County Circuit Court.
Okay. Well, I'd like to, if Hanaway Ross has a state statute expert on it, and we can come into that meeting 2 weeks from now saying that we had them look at it and they concur with what our staff. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? We have a motion to postpone until December 4th. And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. And as Brad said, that has nothing, this discussion is not putting into question the service we've received from Brown County Sheriff and Mr. Jason Vogel. Thank you very much for what you do, sir.
Action item number 13, winter maintenance agreement for the Fox River Trail. Mr. Clark.
Yes, this is kind of an annual agreement now. We've been under agreement with Brown County for the past two winters. They hire a contractor to now follow the Fox River Trail from Green Bay all the way through Alloway into DePere. We had an agreement last year that was signed by all the communities that the county picks up the first $10,000 or so of any invoice for the clearing of the snow and ice. And then from there down, after that threshold's reached, then the individual communities will be invoiced for any cost above that. Last year, for instance, actually did not meet that threshold, so Alloway was not invoiced for any of the services to clear that trail. Hopefully, if the winters hold true, we'll see the same type of services with little cost to the Alloway taxpayers.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Sampson. Wait a second. Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Just a little caveat on that. We also announced, for those of you who were at our meeting a couple weeks ago, we have also announced that we're going to be plowing the East River Trail on our dime. And as a result of the request we got from the gentleman who came to us. So we have a motion to approve the agreement with Brown County and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And for those of you who enjoy cross-country skiing, the village will also groom cross-country ski trails through Weesey Park and the parks on the east side. Action item number 14, support of New Waters Adaptive Management Plan. Mr. Gein.
This afternoon, this evening, you should have received a staff report and a letter that we were provided by New Water. They're looking for us to sign a letter that would support their adaptive management plan. They're proposing to use adaptive management compared to a plant upgrade to meet DNR water quality standards. The cost of adaptive management compared to plant upgrade is fairly significant. They've estimated adaptive management to cost roughly $38 million over the next 30 years compared to a $98 million plant upgrade. We have reviewed their plan and we're a little taken back that they didn't consider a watershed on the east side of the Fox River. They have recently held a customer meeting and they went through their plan. Back in 2014, they had started an adaptive management plan on the Silver Creek watershed. They have just recently wrapped that up. That watershed plan included conservation practices. They were working with the farmers to add buffer strips, to add grass waterways, to convert farm field to wetland areas, and to better manage their crops to have a cover crop in the winter. It was successful. The monitoring downstream had indicated that water quality had improved, and as a result, they're going to move ahead with this plan. And unfortunately, they've selected two watersheds on the west side adjacent to the Silver Creek watershed. I agree with the method to meet the DNR regulations. It is a cost-effective way to meet the water quality standards, but we would have hoped that they would have picked the watershed on the east side. With that being said, they have provided us a letter to submit back to them. to sign and submit back to them. I would like to modify the letter and make some changes, indicating that we would have preferred they would have picked the watershed on both sides, but we do agree with the method they're proposing. So what I'm proposing is that we table this to the December 4th meeting, and then I make some changes to the letter that they provided us.
When it was brought up to New Water that we would like them to on the east side because of the East River being what it is, and Alloway has been given accolades for our storm water management over the years. We seem to be a leader in the area, and for New Water to say, well, the easiest way for us to meet our responsibility is to stay on the west side. I don't want to sign a letter like that personally. I think they should pay attention to their customers. I think there are ways that while they may focus on the west, they could certainly start some kind of efforts on the east side, and without them even suggesting that they would do so, I think is irresponsible on their part. So I would support a different kind of letter.
You know, and we brought up our concerns at the customer meeting, and they had indicated to me that this is the most cost-effective approach to meet the DNR regulations. And if we would want them to look at a watershed or to add a watershed on the east side, that it's going to cost the customers more money. I think they've already made their decision, but I would like to at least in the letter indicate that we would have liked them to have chosen a watershed on the west and east side, and we will support the method that they're proposing because it's a huge cost savings. But any future plans should definitely consider a watershed on the east side.
And this plan is for how long?
They indicated 30 years.
So in 31 years we can talk about it. I don't know. But that's what it is. That's what they're saying, right? And that's at least that's what they're saying on the surface. Trustee Harris?
You said it's the most cost-effective manner, but is that necessarily the best? Okay, I can use a different wording and say, you know, cheapest isn't always best. I don't know, you know, what the difference would be. You know, without understanding their decision methodology, I'll defer back to your expertise. But that if it's just they're looking at the cost, that may not be the proper way to make a decision. Again, that speaking from a position of ignorance, just analyzing what being presented to us.
They had chosen the two watersheds. The Silver Creek was the watershed that they had completed the pilot study on, Dutchman. What's that? No. The Ashwaubenon and Dutchman Creek watersheds, because they were adjacent to the Silver Creek watersheds. Those watersheds had existing conditions similar to the Silver Creek watershed. A lot of the same property owners in the Silver Creek watershed own properties in those in the Ashwaubenon and Dutchman Creek watersheds. So they've already had established relationships to streamline the adaptive management process, and they've also indicated that the watershed sizes best match New Water's regulatory needs. And I've indicated that it's the greatest area within New Water sanitary sewer service area. Those were the reasons given They had evaluated three on the east side, but chose the two on the west side for those reasons.
Did they specifically say that the East River watershed is too large to make it realistic, or across it, it goes out of their service area, you know, the headwaters are too far away? Did they say something like that, that you can recall?
No,
I guess that's kind of implied, that what you just said about the, it's a better match to the...
It's a better match to the water. Right.
How big an impact they can have. But by the same token, if, you know, the East River, we got so much riding on the East River with the trails, and we put kayak landings on the Fox, and, you know, there would be tremendous interest. So you would think those other ones, I don't think, have as much public, I don't know for sure, but I don't know that there are that many parks along Dutchman Creek or Ashwaubenon Creek. Whereas here, there's two, three bridges and thousands of people who live adjacent to it. It, you know, it could be a real showcase.
I should also point out that the two watersheds that they had selected, because half the village drains to the lower into the Fox River, these watersheds they also drain into the same segment of the Fox River. We might be able to gain some credit from the work being done in those two watersheds. And there still needs to be a lot of discussion with the DNR and New Waters, but we might be able to benefit in a small way from one of the two watersheds, the work being done in one of the two watersheds, stormwater-wise.
Yeah. Well, I guess citing to keep us in mind, it, as President Rafter said, the investments in success we've already had, and for all the reasons we're trying to highlight this East River, you know, which maybe makes it unique compared to some of the other ones, we really would urge them to try to build that into their planning. So, thanks.
And I don't know the finances on it, but I'm not excited about spending our money to help people on the west side of the river. If we're going to benefit in a small way, I would suggest that the amount that we have to put into it goes down, and that's not going to happen. But what would happen if we had a letter not supporting the plan?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I believe that they would move ahead with the plan.
Personally, the adaptive management plan, I think, is wise, and I would like to see a letter that said something to the effect that we support your method, and we support a plan that includes the East Watershed, or a plan to incorporate the East River Watershed into the overall strategy.
Just so I'm clear, all ratepayers benefit from not building, you know, if they're getting the last, phosphorus.
Phosphorus,
you know,
right.
You could build a $100 million plant, and instead, by doing $20 million worth of land things upstream, you reduce the same amount of phosphorus,
right.
And they meet the
whatever.
And so everybody benefits equally to that. So we are getting some benefit, but the people on the other side of the river get the benefit of their local stream being turned into a nicer resource, whereas ours is still kind of unremediated.
Yep, and I think Trustee Harris said... What's that?
Unremediated?
I think Trustee Harris said, why are we doing it, right? Are you doing it to meet the standards, or are you doing it to clean up the water and make it a useful watershed for recreation and everything else? And they should be, while they have to meet the regulations, and we have to meet regulations, they should be working to clean up the water for cleaning up the water's sake. And that happens to be one watershed that's pretty darn important to the village of Alloway.
If a couple other things, the village does have two watersheds, the East River and the Fox River,
mm-hmm.
and the work that they would be doing upstream in the Dutchman and Ashwaubenon watersheds, we could benefit from that. it could help us meet DNR stormwater requirements. I'm not happy with the plan either, but I would like to indicate that in a subtle way and support it, because I think we might be able to benefit from work being done in one of those upstream watersheds to the Fox River. But I definitely believe that we need to revise the letter.
Okay. Any other comments?
We have a motion to postpone so that Sean can submit a new letter.
No.
With our guide. Do we not have a motion?
I will accept the motion on this item.
Yes, ma'am. If you just made that motion, I'll second it.
I just made that motion. And Trustee Harris just seconded that. Any discussion? All in favor of postponing until the next village board meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
You are correct. You do not have a motion. And you knew that.
Did you doubt
that?
Did you doubt that?
I never doubt it, Debbie.
Action item number 15, action regarding the Old River Condominium Utility Easement.
The public sanitary sewer and water main has been installed at the Old River Condominium site. The developer has provided us a utility easement to allow us to inspect, maintain, and repair those utilities. Yeah, you have been provided the utility easement in your packet. The easement, for the most part, follows the private driveway within the development. I guess I recommend that the village accept the easement as described and shown on the map.
Trustee Harris.
A quick question. I assume it has, but I'd rather make sure Randy has reviewed. Cool, thank you. Then I would move to approve the easement agreement.
We'll have a second. Trustee Green.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 16, action regarding 2017 compliance maintenance annual report. Mr. Ian.
I have just recently filled out the DNR annual report for the village's wastewater sewage collection system. The report summarizes the inspection and maintenance activities that the village has undertaken in this particular case in 2017. Quickly, I'd like to highlight the inspection and maintenance activities in 2017, under the street and utility reconstruction project, we replaced 6,100 linear feet of sanitary sewer. We had televised 1,600 linear feet of sanitary sewer in 2017. The village inspected and cleaned approximately 30% of the village's sewer system. Under the 2017 street and utility project, we removed and replaced, roughly speaking, 3,000 feet of public and private sewer laterals. One of the things that had noted in this report that we would like to purchase a new TV camera, and that we will be working with, collaborating with neighboring communities to purchase a camera to televise our sewer system in the future. Another thing noted in the report was that we seem to have a sewer bottleneck on East River Sewer between Mission and Alloway Avenue, and in the near future we'll work to try to come up with a solution to eliminate or reduce the number of backups that we get when we get a large rainfall event. The submittal of this report requires that the village board adopt a resolution indicating that they have reviewed and approved the report. Are there any questions on the report?
Any questions for Sean? Done a lot. We've done a lot of work over the last year. Okay. I will accept.
Motion to adopt resolution.
I will accept a motion to adopt resolution 2018-15. Trustee Green.
Moved to adopt.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 17, we'll take 17A through D. Do I have a motion on the consent agenda? Trustee Green.
Moved to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 18, code enforcement report. Mr. Lauder.
Thank you. I want to let the board know sort of what the code enforcement has been up to and what we're doing over the years. To start off, there's three different There's three different types of problems we have. Our first one, an abandoned homes that we have in the village. Right now, we roughly have five homes that are abandoned. When we get code violations, to start out with, we either have to find the current owner, try to make contact with them, or find the foreclosure company if one has been taken over already. After this is done, we have to contact responsible parties and start to handle the violations that are happening. Following up on the violations is one of the things that takes a lot of the time to ensure that everything's being completed. And then we have to have continued contact until the home is either occupied or sold. Now, part of that problem is we have a lot of the owners that just take off. We have no way of finding out where they are or how they are for quite a while. Second problem, foreclosures can take 2 years to 2 years before the banks will stand up and say, yeah, we'll take responsibility of the codes. During that time, we have things that come into public health problems, problems for the neighbors, mostly problems with the yards, problem with rodents, problem with the property starting to fall apart. At times, we have to step in and the village has to do something at the first point, just for the safety of the people of the village. Our second problem is our rental properties in the village. When we start getting calls, code violations on that, first of all, I do try to contact the renters that are there. This is, again, times that they won't answer, times that they won't respond, either to letters, to phone calls, or anything. Secondly, then I have to try to find and contact the owners of the property. Finding out who they are is not a problem. Contacting them at times is, especially now the fact that most people are on cell phones. We don't have a way of finding out how to contact them, and that's one thing I think we should consider trying to do when we have rental property is make sure that we have contact information to the owners of the property. Again, after that, we have to do the follow-up, make sure either the renter or the owner complies and completes the violations that we have, and then continue to file up, because in some of these properties, we are having two or three repeat problems. Again, a lot of this is yard work, things around the outside of the house deteriorating, not notifying the owners and just letting things go, accumulation of garbage, vehicles, everything else just laying around the yard. And we get a lot of complaints from the neighbors that aren't, that are regular homeowners in the area. And our third homeowner violation is the actual complaints we get from homeowners. A lot of this is neighbors already calling. Again, it comes back to yard work, things falling apart. They're letting things just lay around the yard, stuff like this. Now, with that, again, we need to contact them. We need to keep following up with them. We need to hope that they will comply. The last part is, unfortunately, citations and, at times, ordering them into court in front of the judge so that he can actually start ruling that they have to come back every month and show that things are being improved. We have several homes, again, that are in this situation. During this thing, these problems, the complaints we want to get are long grass, weeds, refuse bins, bulk litter, campers in the roadway, numerous vehicles in the driveway, flooding the neighbor's yards, barking dogs, number of dogs in the residence, and dog waste, abandoned vehicles, and snow removal. I've started with some proactive violations where I am trying to check the village for unlicensed disabled vehicles, trash, garbage bulk being built up, brush leaves that have been put into the roadway, trying to get them back out, get them out of the front of the yard if it's not the proper week. Bulk, illegal parked trailers, illegally parked campers, snowmobiles parked out of season, boats, trailers parked out of season, and a lot of it is with just following up on dogs' license. What we come down to for notices for the time it takes me is the fast part is I get some of them that are quick fix, the yards and stuff, we have 24 hours notifying. We have yard, you know, problems with the vehicles on the driveway, trailers on the lawn, refuge bins, we give them 24 hours to get that taken care of. Other things, when we have bulk out, brush out, that there we have to give them at least 48 hours for them to comply. And after that 40 hours, then I need to, again, follow up and make sure it's being remedied. If not, I'm usually try to send them a second letter, which then again gives them 2 or 3 more days, and we have this stuff accumulating. The larger part of 5-day violations, grass growing too long, overgrowth, weeds, minor repairs of the house and fence. There we do need to give them time to get it done. Our extended period are some of the homes we said about are abandoned homes, homes that have really gotten out of hand. There we go, 15 to 30 days. We need to give them a chance to get estimates, get things set up and repaired. If things are working around and it's still a large problem, we then have to extend it 30 to 60 days, because some of this stuff is definitely not an overnight repair when these homes get that far out of hand. Each day, every one of us notices that the follow-up time just keeps extending. We need, you know, one person, we're volunteering, we're following up on this thing, and it takes a while to get some of these codes taken care of. Just for one part, at the end of October, I received roughly 70 calls from residents complaining on other things that are neighbors, other things to see around the village, some of it, some of the stores. I've roughly issued 185 proactive violations. Now these, again, are seeing cars parked on the road, seeing cars that are unregistered, cars that are being, not being fixed in park, grass, things like this. The challenges I have right now is I can drive down almost any road in the village and find several code violations without trying. They just have the education of our people needs to be improved, because some of them, I try to talk to every one of them. some of them don't understand all the codes and violations that we need to educate them more on. When we post more posts on social media, we're finding out that almost all of our responses are negative. Everybody's against what we're doing, trying to improve, trying to do. Very seldom we're getting any very positive reactions to it. But we need to keep education going and figure out somehow to improve this. One of the hardest balances is trying to get compliance, either by just talking to them, improving, showing them what to do. The hardest part is when we have to go to citation or to court. That's the last resort that we do. But again, it turns us into negative situations, even though it's them that are not complying. Coming down to the end of that, I guess my conclusion is I would like to know what the Village Board truly wants. Do they want proactive enforcement? We have several, you can see the cards up there that we had put out, you know, that we're going. Or do you want to wait for just complaints? It's very hard to try to do both. If you pick one item that we want proactive on, but yet then we turn around and we don't want proactive on the next one. So I guess I need to know that I have the board's backing on whatever you decide you want me to do, and we can go from there.
The question I have for you, Mike, is out of the violations, if you had to guess what percentage of the people, once they find out that they're in violation, what percent are happy to comply and they would have complied most likely had they known what the ordinance was?
I would say 75 to 80.
Which is wonderful to hear.
I'm very happy with most of the time. I have, just you know, sent out 89 letters to people. Most of that is on the second set around that they didn't comply the first. But actually 185 so notices that I've sent out, I think that's pretty good.
Yep.
Most of them are very good on it. Some of them are running out the door to take care of it right then because they're apologizing.
Yep.
Which is that, but even the ones that I just stopped and explained to them what our code is and why we have it are very receptive. Now the other 20%, I got 10 of them that will do it, that are going to grumble the whole time they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got probably the next 10% that just don't care.
And you'll always have that 10%. Good news is we have 75% to 80% who actually care.
But some of our major, just so you know, our major stuff is this fall. We have a very thing about keeping our grass, and how many times have we educated and sent out stuff about keeping your grass, your leaves and stuff on the road because of storm system.
Yep.
I couldn't keep up. You can't. You have to figure out a way of trying to educate them or do something. Same with the branches, same with everything. Now the garbage bins, that was one that was just a terrible response on social media after we just sent out the fact that this is what the board had voted on, this is what we are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point right now, it's been left to, I'm waiting for complaints, and I've received a few.
Yep.
But you just have to remember, once I go to one house and receive a complaint, the first thing you're going to do is walk outside and say, well, what about him? What about him? What about him? And then it starts snowballing.
Yep.
Is there a record by me?
Yeah.
Mike and I probably discussed this weekly, daily. It is a challenge in trying to find that balance between what do you go after, what don't you go after. And it's never about the person. It's about, I'll give you an example of a challenge that Mike faces, that is facing today, is November 15th was the date that last day that you have your camper still in your driveway, if it wasn't a pop-up under 20 feet or 24 foot, whatever it is. But there are residents that have paid to have an extension to the driveway up along their driveway or along their garage that they park their camper. And you approach them and say, you know, let them know that, well, this is the time period. Well, I was told that if I did this, it was fine. Those are the real challenges. Like, because someone invested a lot of money to do the to put that paved surface in, but yet it's against our ordinance. And were they told that at one time? It's very possible. We have no idea. You go back to the question of asking them, do you have a letter stating that? And, well, all you're doing is fueling the fire. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the purpose is. The purpose is to try to gain compliance and have that personal approach, which Mike is doing, is really wanting to talk to the individuals. So that's why we just, you know, this has been a discussion. And before I forget, we do have a representative from Brown County Home Builders Association in attendance. If I think maybe Russell might have a few words, if the board would like to hear from Russell, if he is willing to talk
on this issue.
It's an interest to the Brown County Home Builders Association because for probably many reasons, but one is what can they do to help. I'm saying that correctly, Russell.
Would you like to invite him up?
Gordon?
Come on up, Russell.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. We'll take a motion to suspend the rules.
So good.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Welcome.
Yes. My name is Russell Rogers. I'm here for two reasons. One, I'm representing the Brown County Home Builders Association. It's on the board. In addition, I do own the Green Oaks apartment complex at 501-511 Green Avenue. Now, we just wanted to find out, we heard of the direction the village is taking as far as codes and so forth. We wanted to find what direction you're taking based on what we're hearing, and also to have be part of discussion as far as where you're going with your codes and how you're enforcing them, and how the entire practice is actually being accomplished, achieved, and so forth. So tonight I'm just here, just listening, mm-hmm. and then passing on to the board itself so that we can hopefully have some further discussion.
And what is the Home Builders Association interested in this matter?
Well, for construction, basically, we pretty much build everything within Brown County, apartment complexes, homes, whatever our members basically are, all the contractors
right.
we have in Brown County.
Okay.
So that's our interest, basically.
Okay. Any questions for Russell? How's the culvert working?
Actually, it works. It looks really nice. Actually, it works well. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
I need to
take a motion to pick up the rolls.
Wait.
Would you like to speak?
No.
Come on up.
I don't particularly want to give my address because what I'm going to say pertains to an awful lot of my neighbors and this evening to me as well. I have been talking to people about the fact that there is an ordinance that says you may not take your leaves off the apron and put them in the street because this plugs the sanitary sewers. And most of the time, the answer is, oh, I know that. But I don't want it on my street, whether it's because the house is for sale or I'm going to have company or whatever. I'm wondering if perhaps the cost of clearing a sanitary sewer on the notice that is sent to the individual's home might turn a light bulb on and say, oh, well, this does get to be rather expensive and it all comes out of my taxes. Maybe something like that could help.
Okay.
And I would also like to know who's responsible for picking up the leaves on Riverside Drive, because currently my front driveway has a 3.5-foot pile again.
Who picks up leaves on Riverside Drive?
We don't do that.
You do? Okay. I didn't know if it was you or if it was the highway department. Okay.
I'm guessing that pile will be gone very shortly.
You know, from an education standpoint, that's not a bad idea to include that in that notice. That, you know, that goes out into proactive notices about putting your leaves and garden waste into the road, that the cost of unplugging a sewer is X. Please do your part.
Well, I think we had gotten a notice. Actually, the leaves wouldn't go into the sanitary sewer. They would go into the storm sewer and be flushed out into the Fox River, and that's part of the phosphorus problem, is that the leaves get into the river, and during the warmer months, then create an algae outbreak. The DNR is currently working on a standard for leaf collection. And that standard, communities would get be credited a certain removal percentage based on how they pick up their leaves, and they would prefer that they stay on the boulevard. If they don't get into the roadway, they don't get into the storm sewer, they don't get into the waterways.
But it could plug the storm sewers, could it not?
It could.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, and how much do we spend annually on storm water management in the village of Alloway? Just take a guess.
Julia was going,
let me look real quick.
While you're looking at that, if I could jump in additionally, you know, my neighbors are out. You do it because maybe you've lived other municipalities and the leaves sit there forever and they kill your grass or you can't mow your lawn or whatever. And yet, I've been hearing about this collection season that we get around, and you don't want to overpromise, but in Alloway, we probably pick up more often and multiple times than a lot of other places. Is that a fair? We do it quite often, regardless of how we compare.
We've started our last round trip around the village, and I think with the completion of this trip, we've made 5 round trips around the village limits.
I think people need to know that. Boy, that impresses me. You know, we go around 5 times a year, and we don't want it to kill your grass, and there's also the side benefit, or maybe it's the leading thing you argue, is the phosphorus, you know, the pollution thing. A lot of people say they're end up being green and pollution, but also we come around often enough that it's not going to kill your, you know, you're not going to...
It shouldn't.
So I think it's a case that a lot of people will listen to.
And we spend just under $700,000
a year. And those costs will go up if we don't get better at what we do. Right? It's also a safety issue.
Yes.
If you have piles coming out into the street, cars are going to swerve, and it's just not good. One thought I have, Mike, and this is for everyone on staff, is... Every municipality has this issue, right? We all are playing by the same rules. We all have pretty much the same regulations. I'm assuming other municipalities want the leaves, as an example, up on the terrace. Maybe we can, like we do in public works from time to time, maybe we can join forces with other municipalities, throw some budget dollars at an awareness campaign, a public service awareness campaign, going into leaf season as an example, where this is how much, whether it be TV, radio, internet, combined budgets, put money out there, get the TV stations and radio stations to chip in because it's public service, and try and get the word out that way, at least on that issue. I like to hear that about 70 to 80% of the people are glad to help and to actually respond in a positive way to your your letters and that sort of thing. Putting some money behind education. Because if we, and I know we keep trying, and I know it's expensive, but anything we can do to improve our ability to educate the people, and I know our hands are tied, I would guess a lot of people that you end up talking to are new residents who have never faced that before, and we can't legally use our water bills to get a hold of them, but we can write an article in the Alloway magazine, if they're still in business, and hopefully get people to read that article about our codes and how to stay in touch, and to have them ask them to tell their neighbors.
He has some very good points, and I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Through the process over the last several years, no matter who the code enforcement officer has been, is to have communication with the other municipalities around here. And Mike brought up the challenge of proactive versus reactive, mm-hmm. or complaint-driven. There are some municipalities around here that strictly all enforcement, code enforcement, tends to be complaint-driven. And believe me, those are very busy because there's a lot of complaints. So we do have communication with the other communities around here, and you're right. I mean, when you look at the ordinances that are on the books, virtually all of us in the greater Green Bay area have virtually the same ordinance, whether they're worded a little bit differently or enforced differently. They're certainly there. It's tough. It's a real tough one to balance. And having this discussion the last three or four meetings, and I'm assuming we'll probably have more, and hopefully have an opportunity to speak with Russell and the rest of the Brown County Home Builders Association. One of the things that I think Trustee Hagel brought up is, how can we help? I mean, I think it's a little bit more of a challenge because if you put the word, how can we help, I think the perception sometimes is you're going to come and take care of it for us. Well, that's not the case, but if we can find organizations that we can reach out to, and I think that's what Trustee Hepburn was referring to, is to provide the opportunities or resources for people.
I would...
One second, please. I was just informed. I need a motion to pick up the rules.
Move to resume regular order.
Thank you, Second. Sir. Seconded by Trustee Green. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Trustee Dart.
Thank you. I'm thinking if 75% mm-hmm. of the people would like to cooperate, we would be better off putting our work into proactive. Because the ones that are reactive are probably the ones that don't want to comply.
On that note, I was going to circle back and actually ask Mike, which direction would you prefer to take?
That's true.
I guess I personally prefer, maybe because of my previous job, but I prefer the proactive. I think that being out there, even though some people won't like it, that I stop at their house and say, hey, I saw this, this is wrong, but this is why we need you to take care of it, is better than just sitting and waiting for a neighbor or something, and maybe there's one neighbor that says, well, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. Pretty soon that residence is a little bit more out of hand than if they would have called, or if I would be able to drive by and see what's going on, attempt to approach them before I have to send a letter. And usually the letters are informative. At first ones are not. You know, this is why we need you to do this. But I believe that more of a proactive way to go is to keep people informed and be out there instead of just sitting and waiting for somebody to call.
Well, and I would agree with you, and that's not to say that from a complaint standpoint that we're not going to address it. You're certainly going to address that as well. And as far as negative comments on social media, I mean, I saw one of them about a camper in a driveway that's, I think, I'll paraphrase it, but it was basically, that's a stupid code, but I moved mine anyway so you can move on. You know, well, come on. You know, the codes are written for a reason, and it's for the benefit of the entire community. And some people just have to realize that and move on. And if somebody said that they were told it was okay, they're smart enough to know that that doesn't fly. You know, it's got to be in writing. So rules change, you know, but if that code at one time, you know, authorized it and then it changes, codes change too. So I like the proactive approach. It sounds to me like it's getting some attention and it's working. Thank you.
I'm agreeing with the proactive approach, just like you would, you know, you see someone go through a stop sign, obviously they're probably going to get different attention than some other act that could be happening. One of the things that I'd like to see if we can focus on is the top sentence on that page, where we have any instances where we've got language in one spot or another that contradicts, we need that, I think, is going to help you just as much as anything, because if there's, we find it here and it says, well, you can do this and this, and over here it says, no, you can't, you're stuck, and we've got to fix those. So I don't know how many of those you've run across, hopefully we can get those addressed, and that will help you as well.
We have had a few. We brought this up before about just off the top of my head, campers not being allowed to park on the street. Next paragraph down says a camper can park on the street for up to 72 hours if they're loading or unloading. So can they park on the street? Or can't they park on the street? And if they can, now I can park my camper with my truck hooked up to it for 72 hours and say I'm loading in it or cleaning it.
How often are you unloading it?
I get quite a few complaints from other neighbors and that, and it just keeps going because, like I said, I can go and say, I'm sorry, sir, you can't park on the street, but then he said, well, I'm leaving in 2 days and we're loading up. Okay?
I think that's something that the board has, that gets your attention as you work through, come up with an idea of how we can get rid of the conflict. That's one thing where the board can help and get it enacted to clear those discrepancies up.
I'm trying to think back to how many years it took to write the trailer parking.
Oh, yeah.
Randy, we've done that like 10 times.
It took for more. It is so difficult. And you can we use some of that desk camp every weekend, and 72 hours every weekend or every week. There's nothing in the ordinance that says you can't do that, but the perception of a neighbor would be that they're always there, because it appears it's always there, and that becomes a little bit of a challenge as well. This is the discussion I think Trustee Atwood was hoping we would have, is continue to have these sort of discussions, because one, it helps Mike with, I guess, more of his direction on the board's perspective. And are there ordinances that we have that shouldn't be ordinances anymore? Are we not keeping up with lifestyles of people anymore? I mean, that's something to be to take a serious look at.
I'd also look at research grant opportunities for the education piece, whether public safety or people who are excited about our environment and keeping our waterways clean. There may be grants for public awareness campaigns associated with that. Public safety, environment, anything else that our that people like to break codes on, and see if we can get some money for public awareness campaigns. If we can drive down that 75% of the time that you're spending by educating, we're helping that and giving more time to be proactive.
Well, I would second. New Water, I think, has a pretty good budget, and they should be taking the lead. And if we can offer to help, you know, we might even be able to help out. But it's a big problem. We've seen it's a big problem in Alloway, and we think it would be as simple as you guys taking the lead in getting the word out.
I'd even sign a nice letter for them. That's a good point, though.
That was too easy.
Well, one other observation, I'm okay with proactive and seeking things out as long as we retain. It's been my impression that people at this meeting are hearing how we solve problems with taxpayers. We're pretty flexible and we work with people. And as long as you're doing that, you know, it's hard for people to argue that we're heavy-handed and punitive and government trying to tell me what to do. I think, you know, you have a history of being flexible or working with people.
And probably the one that, as Mike alluded to, was the garbage bin. And it was on the books. All we did is change some wording on it that clarified it, and it blew up on social media. And you know, we received some phone calls, Mike received some, I received some, and of individuals that may have a single stall garage that certainly had nowhere to go, and try to explain that we're not coming out looking for you and forcing you to do this. We can help you with potential solutions. And they indicate, well, I keep it on the side of my garage and you can't see it, and none of my neighbors have ever said anything. Well, to me, it sounds like a pretty good solution. You're already taken care of. Because every property is going to have a challenge of some sort. And to, you know, the ordinance is written loosely, all ordinances are written relatively loosely because you need to find solutions. And I think, and you're right, that that's what we want to do. It's not to issue citations at the last resort. It's trying to get the compliance and you do get the occasional comments that maybe we're too long, too tight on some of these ordinances, and that's why I bring up that maybe we do need to look at some of these, or are some of them that are on the books really necessary anymore?
Well, in total, you've had about 250 over some period of time, right? So 179.
That's about eight.
Yeah. Okay. So, and some of those, I'm guessing, are duplicates?
Yes.
Okay. The good news is we have about 5,000 households in Alloway. So if you've got 100 that aren't happy, maybe those are the people who don't want to live by the rules anyway. The good news is you've got the vast majority of Alloway residents, I believe, who would say, we want you to be proactive because we live by the rules, we want everyone. And I've heard that many times from residents. So that's why I think that the proactive approach and professional approach that you take is very important. Other thoughts?
I guess just to be official on it, I would move to... There is no action on it. Yeah, so it wasn't really a motion in a sense. But as a board, I would pursue the proactive.
Yeah. If I may, once had an opportunity to speak a little bit more with Russell. We're meeting next Tuesday already, so maybe have a little chance to talk a little bit and do what else needs to be brought before the board, or kind of get some from the contractor's perspective too.
Sounds good. Wouldn't hurt.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thanks for what you do. What's it?
You like cats.
Speaking of making sure our codes are all in place, Mr. Fuller, we'll talk about number 19, zoning code update.
Yes, I just wanted to keep the board informed of where we're at in process.
We have, Brad and I have been in just in dialogue with the with Duncan and Coda Metrics. They are working on an outline as far as an approach to take on tackling the project for us. We've provided them a couple comments that then they're going to work on. And then next step will be reviewing that further, and hopefully in the beginning of next year have the first rough draft to the Planning Commission and probably Village Board as well. Mm-hmm. So all in all, we're working a little bit ahead of schedule, which is great. Continue to definitely keep you guys informed. I was going to ask if any of the board members are interested in, you know, reviewing where we're at so far or being involved, a little more involved in the process. Just email me or want to share with you where we're at or keep you updated in more detail, I think. So.
Great. Any questions for Trevor? Thank you very much. Action item or item number 20, future agenda items. Is there anything that any board members, trustee here?
Got one. I didn't know if maybe in December or even January we could get a summary of what's been going on since the inception of the facade improvement program, so that we can see where we've been spending the money, how many different businesses have taken us up on it, if there's anything it's more likely to happen at the beginning of the year, end of the year, just a nice refresher on that. Also, it may get a little bit of attention in terms of there might be some other businesses that are able to use it.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. No one wants to leave. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Folks, thanks very much for joining us tonight. I wish you and your families a very happy Thanksgiving.